I'm guessing that everyone here was aware of this past week's Powerball lottery. Is that right? Everybody knew? And how much was that jackpot? Like $1.6 billion, right? And however much it was a boatload of money. And so the news said that the lines to buy tickets were very long, and all over Facebook, people posted about how they might spend that money if indeed they had the correct numbers. Everything from paying off mortgages to education to travel to helping those in need was listed. And surely people dreamed of all their troubles being solved if only they could win millions upon millions of dollars. Of course, in contrast to those dreams, are actual stories of folks who did at one time win a big lottery. And my guess is that their tales of joy are equally balanced by tales of woe, as people squandered fortunes or were relentlessly badgered for money by relatives and friends they never even knew they had. So the lottery, and history in general, teaches us that although having money may solve some problems, it doesn't solve all problems and can often create many more. So for all of you that bought a ticket and didn't win, well, maybe that's not really such bad luck after all. But the lottery and all those people who played it are surely a sign, aren't they? A sign of people's desire for luxurious living, or a yearning for an imagined easier life, or for some, maybe even a sign of simple greed. And signs are something we should pay attention to, and we often do, like traffic signs or someone's bad mood. But then there's those we miss, and we might end up with traffic tickets or hurt feelings. But in our culture, we are surrounded by all sorts of signs and messages, and sometimes it's hard to know what's important and what's not. However, in today's gospel, the Apostle John had no such problem, for he was very clear about what followers of Jesus should pay attention to. Because in his gospel, he writes about signs as something that pointed to Jesus, to reveal who he was as the Son of God, thus giving us an idea of what God is like. We think of these signs as miracles, but to John, the miracle itself wasn't nearly as important as what that miracle told us about Jesus. And today's gospel gives us the story of the first of these signs, when Jesus took water at a celebration of a wedding and turned it into wine. So the story of the wedding feast at Cana looms large in Christian memory as the time and place of Jesus' first official miracle. But really, if we think about it, what was the big deal? Basically, what Jesus did was to save face for the family throwing the wedding, because by coming up with some wine, he saved them the embarrassment of running out. Was this situation really worth a miracle? But then we have to remind ourselves, that's not really the point. The point was that Jesus, the Son of God, revealed the character of God in his actions. And not only did he respond to the need for more wine, but he did so with abundance and blessing. For this wasn't just enough wine for a few glasses, but instead was at least 120 gallons of wine. And it wasn't cheap, bitter stuff either, but the best wine that was served. So since this sign points us to Jesus' divinity and reveals to us something about God, what it tells us then is that with God, emptiness is filled up, ordinary things are made extraordinary, and scarcity becomes abundance. So this is a sign that points us to all good things and rightfully gives us hope in God and in God's faithfulness to humankind. But in the current state of our world, it also begs the question, what does this abundance and blessing of God look like? Is it winning a million-dollar lottery? Or does God even pay attention to that? So I wonder, is God's abundance found in lots of money or lots of things or in good health or in relationships or what? What is it? For instance, we might consider abundance to be found in affording a really good bottle of wine or in a great vacation with friends. For others, it might be the ability to buy a house instead of renting an apartment. For others, abundance may consist of simply having food to eat, or a bed to sleep in, or someone to love. And for far too many, abundance as we know it is a distant dream, as they live in poverty and hunger, or as refugees hoping to escape war and disaster and seek a safe place to live and raise their children. So in a world full of many, many good things, as well as danger, injustice, hunger, and poverty, what does this sign of abundance and blessing in Cana mean to us now? Well, one way to look at it is that these signs point not to abundance as the world defines it, but rather to the abundance that may be found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For God's extravagant grace is available in spite of, not because of, our life circumstances. And that grace is woven through whatever happens. It's able to bring about transformation as well as introducing new possibilities. So look for that grace and the outpouring of volunteers at the scene of a disaster, in the meal carried in by a neighbor, or in the person holding the hand of a dying friend. Because God's grace is rarely in pots of money, but it is always in pots of soup. It isn't found in having a debilitating disease, but it is certainly there when a friend shows up to visit. And living in poverty, well, that's hardly a graceful state in which to exist, but anyone reaching out with kindness and compassion is surely an extension of God's abundant grace. So John's sign of turning water, of Jesus turning water into an extravagant amount of good wine, is less about what is and more about what can be if we believe and come to know and trust God's faithfulness to us in such a way then that we are transformed into faithful sharers of God's extravagance with all of God's people. Because money, that doesn't guarantee anything. But having a boatload of it has probably ruined as many people as it has saved. But grace and blessing, they can do extraordinary things. For it turns everyday bread and wine into something sacred and filling. It turns regular people into sources of mercy and compassion. And it can transform human hearts and minds into extensions of God's extraordinary love. So let's not wait to win the lottery or pay off the mortgage or do whatever it is we think we should do before we can be generous, extravagant sharers of God's abundance and grace. Because if John's sign at the wedding feast at Cana points us to anything, it must be that God exceeds all expectations of mere human abundance. We will never be able to outgive God, but I bet he expects us to try. Amen.